And I call to order our first budget board meeting 3/26/2024 at 6:03 p.m. Lisa here. Eileen?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
Beth?
Here.
All of the board members are present. And in attendance, we have Joni?
Here.
Teresa?
Here.
And Pat?
Here.
That makes up all everyone who has volunteered. Here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I am going to recite the budget committee member oath of office. And you're all going to do it together. And I'm going to start out with I and then state your name. And then I'll go on from there. Okay?
All right.
I. State your name.
Teresa Zawalski.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And will faithfully and honorably
discharge the duties
as a fiscal year 2024/2025.
Budget Committee Member of the Otter Rock Water District.
Thank you. You have all been sworn in.
Try not to swear too much. Okay, sounds good. All right. So, are you all? I'm gonna move into group processes, and I guess I think beforehand.
We have to, as a committee, and that's everyone here, formally elect the presiding officer.
Oh, I don't have my right. I've got to get my agenda out here, right? Okay. Okay. I have a different one. All righty.
So, Lisa?
Do we have the... I don't see...
It's item D, budget committee election of presiding officer.
Okay.
So I'll just make the motion that we elect Joni DeMott as the presiding officer for the budget committee meeting.
Oh. Right.
Did you second that, Pat?
Okay.
So Lisa, yes. Kelly?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Pat?
Yes.
Joni?
Yes. I would be happy to do that. Thank you. Okay, now we'll go. Yes. Here we go.
Now you're on.
All right, we're on. Okay.
You're official now, Joni.
Oh boy. It's another year. So I wanted to introduce us to just go over a couple of things briefly about the way that we were operating. Last year we began the group without Teresa and Kelly at the time, but we decided that we would use some tools to help us in making good decisions and to agree to them. So we started using the cards for discussion, and they helped us to see how we were thinking together and how we were thinking individually. And it allowed us to get a feel for decisions that were close to being made and some that were not. So the cards, and I think you all have the information on it. There are four cards. We use four. The red card, if we're in a discussion and I call for a decision or I call for a card, if you do not agree, you absolutely cannot agree, raise your red card. That indicates that we will listen exactly what you have in mind. If you are, you feel okay about it, but you still have some reservations you want to talk through, then raise the yellow card, and then that's what we'll talk about. But if you are just fine with it and we're going to move ahead, then give us a green card. And those, then I'll take it from there in terms of calling on people. Anybody has a red card, we will talk that through. And we will work through whatever is going on until we get at least yellow and green. And most of the time we get green cards. In this group, we always had green cards because we were walking it through. The white card helps us a lot because on Zoom, it's so difficult to keep an eye on who wants to speak. And so when you want to speak, then you raise your white card so that I can see it. And then I'll say, if someone's speaking, I don't want to interrupt them, but I might say, Beth, I see your white card. And then if a couple of you raise your white cards at the same time, I'll take you in order of raising them. So that will help us manage our time really, really well, I think. That was about the red, yellow, and green cards. The thing I really also wanted to mention was that we put together our ground rules last year, and that was on the very first meeting. And the ground rules, you, I hope you got in the mail, yep, or in the, as an email. Those ground rules worked for us in making sure that everyone had a chance to hear and was respected. And what I wanted to do, these were contributions by all five of us last year, but we didn't have Kelly and we didn't have Teresa at the time. So I wanted to give the two of you first an opportunity to add any ground rule that you would like to have on for the season here, and then give us all a chance to make any changes that we want to. So go, Kelly.
I would like people to not talk too fast. And if you're going to use abbreviations or acronyms, let me know what they are in full so I can make a note of it for my note-taking and my summary. And that way I won't have to keep bugging Beth with little emails or texts about what's a, you know, EDU, okay? Which I know what that is now, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
That would be helpful. Thank you so much.
We will add those two. Teresa, did you have one that you wanted to add? One or two?
Great adds, Kelly. But no, I don't have anything to add. I was very pleased with the ground rules and appreciate them.
Really good. Super good. I wanted to just make one comment on it. On the last one where we'll be succinct and clear. One of the things that happens, because we use these white cards, sometimes they stack up. So there are three or four people that want to comment. So when you have the floor or you have the video, it's best certainly to be succinct and clear, but also to stop, you know, to stop and be able to let other people comment on what you're saying. So we want to make sure that we don't overspeak, if you know what I mean. So, are there any changes? No other changes? If we just add the two of Kelly's then? Okay, well, I'll make sure that we get that new set of ground rules all out to you. And then let's see what else. The other thing was the duration of our meetings. We found last year that if we started at 6, by 7:30, we were pretty much toast. And so I would like to know what you think about that. Are you okay about holding the meetings to an hour and a half at the very most? And then if we're finished at an hour or whenever we can close, it's not an issue. What do you think about that? Oh, green card already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have a green card so far. This is how it works. Okay. I do too. Okay. So I'll try to keep track of time. Oh, yes. Yeah, Kelly.
I'm really good with 90 minutes, but if we had something that we just needed 10 or 15 more minutes to get done, then I would say that it shouldn't be like a totally hard and fast rule, because I think if it took 10 more minutes, we should do it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Anyone else have any objections to that?
No.
Okay, so with that reservation, then we'll try to hold our meetings no more than an hour and a half. But if we need to, we'll extend them a little bit longer to complete that conversation. Good. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so that's duration meetings. And then when we get to the end of the meeting today, we'll talk about meeting dates. You know, I think you already have a sheet that came out on the website, and we'll take a look at that and see when our next meetings will be. Okay, do you have any other questions about any of the ways that we're going to operate together? Anything, any issues? Okay. Then, Eileen, are you budget officer? Are you, as the person that has written the budget message, yes, would you read the budget message and present the proposed budget?
I think I am the budget officer.
Your budget officer.
I think we did that at our board meeting.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah. But you're our facilitator.
I am.
Okay. All right. I am going to read the message. It's a little lengthy. So let's see. Otter Rock Water District 2024-25 budget message. And it was
it probably should have been March 26th.
Yeah. March 26th, 2024. We'll fix that.
Right.
Budget Committee and Otter Rock Water Board. The purpose of the budget message is to highlight the major issues and changes and to discuss future projections for the fiscal year 2024-2025. The district is required to present a balanced budget for the upcoming fiscal year by June 30th of each year. The Budget Committee, consisting of up to 5 citizens and the governing board members, meets to build and approve the budget for the district. During the budget process, the public is asked to comment on the proposed budget at 2 different times, once near the beginning and again at the end of the budget hearing. After the budget is approved by the budget committee, a budget hearing will be scheduled before final approval by the governing board, the Otter Rock Water District Board. In the last fiscal year, 2023-2024, the district has recruited 1 new board member, that's Kelly, and it is now operating with 4 members, with 1 position staying open. Highland Water Inc. has been purchased by Northwest Natural Water LLC. We continue to have the same contacts with the new company and hope to continue using them as our water operator throughout the last year, more meters have been installed and other information has been collected to satisfy a mandated EPA survey on lead pipes. Last year, Columbia Bank transitioned to First Security Bank of Washington, and there are no plans to make changes at this time. The funds in the chlorination account have been depleted and this account has been closed. The System Development Fund and our Treasury account have increased through dividends and 2 new fees from new construction in Otter Rock. The Mahala subdivision continues to be developed, and there is a possibility of at least 1 more development in this area. We have continued discussions on potential funding for our aging infrastructure. Representative Gomberg has shown support, and we are hopeful he can help with some funding options through his work with the Oregon Legislature. Portland State University was successful in getting the medium income survey completed, and unfortunately, we were slightly above the income level for any USDA funding. We continue to wait for FEMA, and our hopeful grant money will be available to assist with replacing our aging water tanks. There has been some movement, and we did meet with FEMA representatives earlier this fall, but as of right now, has not yet been approved. Business Oregon would like us to move forward with a loan as they are holding funds for our specific project. We will continue to work with Civil West Engineering regarding both Business Oregon and FEMA. Rates were increased with the 2023-2024 budget, and we will again review water rates and fees. Discussions about water rates and fee increases will be part of the budget committee discussions. The district will hold an initial hearing along with the budget hearing required on the approved budget, both as required by Oregon statutes. As noted in last year's message, the district will continue to focus on installing meters throughout our system. Knowing the age of our system, we anticipate the continuing need to budget for limited system repairs until the system can be rebuilt. The district has tentatively scheduled the budget hearing and final approval of the budget for June 25th at the latest. Respectfully submitted, Eileen Goldhammer, Budget Officer, Otter Rock Water District. There you go.
Great. Would you like to introduce the proposed? Oh, yes, Teresa.
I just have one clarifying question, Eileen, and towards the end where it talks about the FEMA thing. It says, the statement is, and it's the third paragraph from the bottom, there has been some movement, and we did meet with FEMA representatives earlier this fall, but as of right now, has not yet been approved. What has not yet been approved? That's not clear to me. What has not yet been approved?
We've been waiting. We applied for money from FEMA to replace our tanks. And this was done, Beth could probably elaborate a little bit more than myself, but we've been waiting for these funds to come through from FEMA.
2 years.
2 years, okay. Yeah, and the funds are, Beth, the funds are basically, Beth, can you explain it a little bit better than me?
Well, It's in the final stages of approval. I don't know if that's what your question
final
is.
Final stages of approval for funding to replace the water tanks. I mean, that's what's not clear. It's not clear
the FEMA project.
What FEMA is gonna provide for us. It's not clear in this statement.
No, it I guess because we've talked about it a lot, but we could have explained that. But the FEMA project is a seismic mitigation grant from the federal government. It would cover things that would need protection for earth movement, basically, which includes the large reservoir and the main distribution system, replacing all the 6-inch mains, and includes the cost for a pumping station because it'll be a raised steel tank reservoir that will need pumping. We have gravity feed, so we don't need a pump. So that's basically the basic components of what it would cover. It doesn't.
Okay, so in this message, you know, because it is public to our community, right? I think it would be good to clarify what exactly we're looking for from FEMA, because the statement doesn't clarify that.
Right, right. We've talked about it, and you know, it's a lot of work, but we probably need to put together some information to explain such things.
Or just point to a document that's on the website or something like that to just clarify what exactly, you know, the statement is that has not been approved yet. What hasn't been approved yet? You know, if I was just reading this document as I am, you know, it's not clear.
Right, right. If you haven't been following and being at all the meetings, you know, if you had been, you'd know it, but a lot of people can't read it. So yeah.
That's kind of my point. It's just like it's ambiguous right now as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly?
So Teresa and others, if we were to take that section and say the FEMA grant to replace our water tank and 6-inch mains and the pump for the water tank has not yet been approved, would that be acceptable?
Yeah, that's what I'm just looking for, a little specifics around, well, what hasn't been approved yet? What, you know, so when we look at this big system that we're looking at, you know, we've got to get support for this and support for that, and we're looking at different places to get that support. You know, so how is this getting broken out and who's paying for what and what are we looking at, right? I mean, I don't need it, doesn't need to be a completely very detailed information, but this statement is very undefined. What?
So the language that I proposed, is that significant?
That's fine with me. Yes.
Is there, can we add that to the budget? Can we revise the budget, Eileen, just to add that language or
the budget message?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know if we had to go through motions and whatnot. Can we just amend?
No, that was up to Eileen as the budget officer to put together. So,
Do you mind?
No, not at all.
I can do that. I just uploaded one with the corrected meeting date, but
Okay, it's pretty
simple to edit and convert to a PDF and upload.
Yeah.
Lisa?
You're on mute. Thank you. Teresa, just for your information, we hope that they're going to give us $1.9 to $2 million. That's what we hope. We have no idea how much they're giving us, but we got really great news that we are almost to the finish line on that, but we have no idea how much it is. So we just don't know, but
that's awesome. And I applaud you all for all your efforts, you know, in all these areas and opportunities, potential opportunities. But I just think for the message that goes out to the community, it should be a little clear.
Great. Eileen?
Well, and Teresa, just so you know, too, I mean, a lot of this has been very up in the air for us, too, as far as if we were going to get any money at all. And the budget message, I mean, things have happened within the last 2 or 3 days that have almost changed that budget message.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we've been working with Business Oregon trying to figure out how much money they're willing to give us. We didn't know until probably a week ago if FEMA was ever going to come through with this money. And it's like all of a sudden things seem like they're starting to really move, not just a little bit, but they really feel like they're starting to move, which is very positive. And there again, it's been within the last couple of days. So
that's awesome. That's
awesome. So anyways, we'll fix the message.
Thanks. Excellent. Any other comments or concerns? Okay. Do you want to introduce, Eileen, the proposed budget?
Has everybody had a chance to take a look at it?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Kind of.
Who was that?
Kelly.
Oh, hi, Kelly. Okay. Well, I mean, we could go through this line by line. I don't know. Do you want to do that?
We can open up. We can open up the proposed budget as a, to the committee for discussion and move to that point, and then just begin the work. We can begin the work.
Just a few notes on the proposed budget, and then maybe we can discuss it a little bit. There again, one of the things that's happened here very recently is discussions with Business Oregon. They want us to commit to 3 years of rate increases in order to move forward with any financing. We've gone back and forth with Business Oregon, asking them how much they're willing to give us. And they come back to us saying, we really need you to show us what you're willing to pay, which obviously is in the form of rate increases. At our last work session, which was it last week?
Yeah.
We had a discussion with Kevin with Civil West, and we looked at some numbers, and I think we were all in agreement that we could move forward with rate increases for the next 3 years of $10 a year. And we felt fairly comfortable with that number. I know there's a little bit of question whether we want to do $10 a year, we want to do $15 a year, but I think we all felt more comfortable with a $10 a year increase than a $15 a year increase. So that's kind of one of the main things when we look at this proposed budget this year. If you look at the revenue is all reflected with a $10 a year increase for both our residential, our commercial, and our vacation rental rates. So if you want to just keep that in mind, that those revenue numbers that we've put in are a reflection of a $10 increase that would start this year, in the fiscal year.
Okay. Before you go on, Pat?
I just listened to the minutes from that meeting, and darned if I can remember. What is the goal total rate that we need to establish for residential?
That would be 95.
Pardon me?
95.
After 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, but so 65. Oh, I guess that does get us there at 10. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, Pat, it may, I mean, things may change a little bit between now and when we actually finally get some funding. You know, but that's the objective. So, and I guess I shouldn't say that they may change a little, because we're going to have to be somewhat specific on how much our rates are going to increase over the next few years. So I might have misstated that a little. So let me just finish, and then we'll just open it up. So
before you do that, Pat, can your concern wait until she finishes and opens it up?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. That's the one kind of significant thing when we look at the budget. If we look at the revenue. That's the main significance there. And then if you scroll down, everything else is very similar to where it's been this year. No big increases in anything that we have, that we need, or no big increases in any of our expenses. And the other thing at the bottom, you'll see that the chlorination project fund, there's nothing there. And that's because we depleted those funds this year. We got permission from where we received the funds to go ahead and use that money to use it for meter installations, which is what we've done. So that chlorination project fund is gone. And then the only other thing, if you look at the system development, and you look at the reserve funds, you'll see that those have increased quite a bit. And that's because we've been getting really good dividends. So there's that. And I think other than that, if you look, you'll see that basically all the expenses are pretty much in line. So, okay, so I am done, and let's open it up, I guess.
Okay, Pat, I'll do Pat, and then we'll pass to Beth.
Beth, go ahead, and then I'll ask.
Okay, I just wanted to note that our proposed available cash on hand is very tentative. We actually didn't go through, it's quite a lot of work to go through and try to estimate what our revenue and expenses are going to be in this next 3 months, and we didn't get that far. So that's just kind of a real dartboard figure. That's all I wanted to mention. That'll obviously be changing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Pat.
Okay, so the proposed at this point $10 a month increase in our regular residential rate is solely for the purpose of demonstrating that we can pay for the cost, the debt service on the loan that we have to take to do the big project. That's correct, right?
That's very correct.
But I'm concerned that that amount does not really increase cost of living for our base rates. Now, maybe nobody cares about that, but I think we should look at what the cost of living is projected to be. And I know we have a couple different ones we can look at. And I think I did ask Eileen if we were using the PDX COLA or the SSA COLA or CCI. If that's what we would, which one of those we would use if we were going to increase rates as we've done in the past based on increasing costs for everything we do.
Okay, Beth?
Just want to note that for the loan, we are required to show revenue of 120% of our costs, which would be operating costs plus debt repayment. So these rates have to be upped to include a whole 20% more than we should need.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So every rate on the rate chart needs to have a 20% increase in addition to that $10?
No, the $10 for 3 years or a $30 increase from now would be what we would need for supposedly, we still don't know what we can get. They're insisting that we raise the rates and show that commitment before they're even gonna, approve a loan. So, but what we're required to show is a revenue that exceeds our actual expenses by 20% each year.
Okay. Does the rate chart do that for us?
Well, increasing our rate by 30 years over $30 over 3 years will bring us to the $95, which would do most of the project. and that includes, so you don't have to add, I guess what I'm saying is we may not need to at this point consider an annual increase for right now on top of that.
Okay.
I think Lisa 3 years down the road, we would look at that, but we're going to have extra money each year, assuming unforeseen things that will build up. And what we can't use that leftover money from each year, we can't use it to show to the loan people that, well, we'll just use that to pay part of the loan each year. We can pay down the loan faster, but they want to see 120% revenue over expenses for the life of the loan.
So we would not be allowed to set aside that $10 or whatever it ends up to be rate increase solely to start accumulating it towards paying the debt service.
No, that's what we will be doing for a couple years, because we will only be paying interest until the project is completed, the loan project, you know, whatever we're going to be able to do with a loan. We won't be repaying that loan until the project is completed. However, we will pay interest on any of the drawdown. We'll pay interest every year. So some of that will have to go to the drawdown, but some of that just is going to go to reserve, and then we can either save it for future capital improvements, or we can pay down the debt faster, assuming that we don't need it to every year for our operating costs plus our debt repayment.
Lisa,
don't want to shortchange our operating budget because we have some trepidations about how much the community will support the rate increase for the debt service.
Okay. Lisa?
Well, I agree with Pat, but yeah, there's no way that we can just save, like we did with meters, there's no way we can save that $10 a month and put it into a different account and say, hey, you know, we're only going to use this for the debt. We have to put it in the general budget, and then hopefully.
No, we don't.
No?
No. And I'm going to propose, that was one of the things I was thinking, we should look at that in this budget process of as long as we get our meters installed, then we should look at shoving money into the reserve fund.
Yeah, but I also agree with Pat that, you know, between last year and this year, you know, inflation has risen more than 3%, and we're not keeping up with it, on top of the $10 that we're supposed to be paying to Business Oregon. And I know the community doesn't want to pay that much, but I'm just saying we may want to think about $10 plus, you know, eventually we're going to have to start paying. We're going to have to start adding a COLA and, you know, to our resolution, because, you know, having a budget meeting every year to raise rates is just kind of silly.
Eileen?
I guess the only comment I want to make on this is, if you look at where we're at as far as the amount of money that we take in and what we spend, we're doing pretty well. We are not in the red by any means. You know, all of the majority of the expenses that we have had this last year have been to install meters. I guess we've been very fortunate that we haven't had some sort of a disaster with our piping. But as far as servicing the community with the funds that we've brought in, we're doing very well. And to Beth's point, we're doing well enough that we need to look at what we've got sitting in our general fund and put it somewhere. Because there's a substantial amount of money sitting. So I think the concern that, you know, we're not going to be raising our rates enough. I mean, I think once we get this project behind us and we have a system that's functioning, we should be fine as far as where our rates are. So, you know, I think as far as major expenses that we might have, they're not going to be hugely expensive. There's probably a few things, but, you know, nothing outrageous. If that makes
sense. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. Kelly, do you have your card up?
I do. I don't know the thing angled very well. I just want to get back to a few things. I am so sorry, but Lisa, you said something about how we're going to have to start adding a CODA. Is that what you said?
It was a cost of living, and I'm saying that because Kevin mentioned that we should.
I understand that. I'm just saying if it's a abbreviation, I need to know what it means. So what's
cost of living increase?
Yeah. Cost of living increase? Okay, so it's a COLA, not a CODA. And then, Pat, when you were talking about increasing the monthly rate, you said we should be looking at, was it SSA codes or CSI codes? I didn't quite catch that. And what do those mean?
Okay. There are several different indexes that get published every year.
Yeah.
That purport to be cost of living increases.
Right.
Like, for instance, the cost of living index for Portland is at 1.1%. The Social Security Administration is at 3.2%.
Okay, so that's...
And there's also a contractors... Beth, what's the name of that? Contractors...
The CCI, Construction Cost Index.
Okay, yeah. I got it.
Yeah, the CPI is Consumer Price Index.
Okay, right. I got it. Thank you.
So I didn't know what the CC, the contractors amount is projected to be for this year, but the average of
what was it last year
and Social Security is 2.08%. That's what is expected by those groups, and they have different ways of reaching their percentages.
That's fine. I just wanted to, you know, I had requested in the beginning, and I just wanted to go back and get those. So thank you. I appreciate it, both of you.
Pat?
Is that, yeah. Associated with that is, I'm going to forget what I was going to say.
It'll come back.
Well, I just would reiterate that I think we've talked about it before at budget committee meetings, doing a annual cost of living increase of some kind so that there didn't have to be a resolution every single budget year. And most organizations run that way. And I think it's probably necessary. For instance, just at your meeting last week, you were talking about how to pay for the roof on the community center. That wasn't in the budget, and now it's here. And a regular increase in the cost of living could cover that type of unexpected expense.
Okay, Teresa?
So, Pat, are you proposing that we would raise rates every year based on cost of living increases?
Sometimes there isn't an increase. By usually an organization, an index that they're going to use. And yes, I think it's necessary because every one of our expenses keeps going up in your household, in mine, and most of them are more than 2%, I would venture.
Teresa, go ahead.
Well, I see the wisdom in that, absolutely. But I also see the frustration, let me just say, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joni, you probably have a better math head than I do, but if we were to increase 3% just this year, aside from the $10 because of the, you know, debt thing we want to do, it would be $2. And so would we really every year want to tell the community, oh, your water rate's going to go up by $2 this year, your water rate's going to go up by $1.50 this year, you know? I personally would propose that we would look at cost of living and put within the budget like every 3 years or something like that. So it would be something like, it's going to go up $5, it's going to go up $10. I think it'd be frustrating for people who do auto payment and stuff like that to have the rate changing every year.
Isn't it good? Oh, sorry. As a facilitator, I'd like to move just to be the member for a second. We are gonna raise it $10 every year, but that will, I would assume that people will expect it. So then it would be like $12, which is another part. Beth, and then I'll move back to Teresa again.
I would suggest we look at doing an annual increase after we get up to whatever level we're going to need to do to satisfy the loan people. And we'll have a better idea of how we're doing at that point. I think that that extra 20% could more than cover it, that we're going to have to, we're required to have to qualify for that loan, and that we don't need to add extra if we don't have to. And I think that $10 chunk every year is quite a bit for everyone to have to handle for the next 3 years, and that we shouldn't add on to it and okay. And later.
Teresa, and then goes to Lisa.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, kind of, Beth. I think
sorry.
We have a good understanding of the $10 a month for the $10 a month for the next 3 years to go up, and it does cover any cost of living increase. And then, yes, we could certainly get into a rhythm of cost of living increase once we have this big project behind us and we're kind of settled as to what's the norm,
which we wish we knew.
We wish. Do you want to know where we stand with this? Is it too, are we in just discussion, or do you want to do a card on it and see where people are? It may be way too early to do this. Maybe this is just day one, but it sure does influence our proposed budget here. You don't mind? All right, let's just move ahead then, and then we'll know what various people have been thinking about. Pat, are you okay with that?
Sure. Okay. I'm just throwing things out for discussion.
Okay, great. All right, are there any other items in the proposed budget that you have any questions about, or you want to change, or you want to talk about in any way? Yeah, Teresa, and then I'll go to Lisa.
Yeah, I just have, and it's certainly my ignorance of the budget in general, but there's a few line items that I'm not clear on, like the legal fees. Is that just a retainer fee?
Who would like to answer? Lisa, would you like to answer?
Sure. It's in case somebody decides to sue us, it's in case we have to hire a lawyer for whatever reason. It's just there to, it's a buffer in case we have to hire a lawyer. We do have one on retainer, but we don't pay them anything to be on retainer. It's, we pay per hour whenever we need a question answered or we need a situation solved, and we can't do it.
Okay. So it's not any money we've spent, like we don't spend $7,000 a year on legal fees. And I guess that's the same goes for engineering and consulting.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you want to go ahead on?
It depends. Next year, it depends on if we call Kevin's work with Civil West an engineering fee, or if we're going to classify him as the grant and loan fee. I don't know where we're going to put his work. I'm guessing we're going to have to put most of his work under the grant and construction fee, grant and loan application fees. Isn't Eileen, do you have a better answer?
Lisa, I think the majority of the money is going to be incorporated into the loan for that. Once things get going, the engineering fees are going to be incorporated into that loan. So as far as I know, so that
for, really, to the project,
yeah. So we're not paying any engineering fees right now, but the grant and loan application fees, that was one of my comments coming up, and I'll hold off on that one.
Well, why don't you
We don't pay anything in engineering. It's in case a pipe blows, or you know, something in the tank goes horribly wrong, and we need Kevin to engineer something for us, a stopgap until we get the loan. It's basically, we haven't spent anything in engineering this year. It's just in case.
Yeah, get it. A potential cost, but we aren't. I wasn't clear if we were spending that money every year or if that's just, you know, a placeholder basically for potential costs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then my question, can I go ahead and go through all my questions, Joni?
Sure.
Okay. Then the next question I have is about the contract labor excavation line item, $58,000, under meter installation. How many meters is that? And are we doing that every year?
We have been pushing to get the meters installed. And so that number, what you're looking at is just the budget numbers. What the other report that we have is basically shows what spent. So
expenses.
So this year, so if you look at that line item, we have spent
The P&L is the thing you would want to look at, Teresa, to see what we have spent.
Okay.
And the last regular meeting would have a copy to the end of February.
So this is basically just minimum. This is what we're spending on meters. But, you know, when we have the opportunity, we're spending more to get more of the meters in.
Especially this year, Teresa. So far this year, we've spent on that contract labor, that line item. So we budgeted $58,000. We've spent close to $40,000 so far this year. So between now and the end of the year, we really hope to somewhat deplete that amount. So a lot of these littler expenses, when you look at this budget versus actual report that you're not looking at, you'll see that those numbers start kind of coming together where we're depleting those numbers.
Yeah.
Other than like the ones that you're pointing out, the legal, the engineering, you know, those, like Lisa said, are really kind of a safety net for us that you know, we can go, oh my gosh, we're going to get sued. Yep. Thank goodness we've got $7,000 sitting there. Yeah. And then like to Pat's point about the roof, those dollar amounts that you've got sitting in legal, or maybe you've got left over in some of these other funds, you can look at that and go, well, we're obviously not going to use the money there. Let's pull that up and use it for the new room.
Sure.
So, yeah. So that's kind of the mindset, somewhat. I mean, you don't want to be playing around with it too much, but that's kind of what we can do. So,
I change roles for a second here from facilitator to member. In excavation, during the meters, sometimes meters, as I understand it, sometimes when they put a meter in, the corpse stops right at the surface level and it's no big deal. But then there's sometimes that I've heard from the board and from Craig where it's like 3 feet down or it's 7 feet down or whatever it is, or it's behind, you know, this huge, huge bunch of bushes that have been growing for 50 years. And we really need to have an excavator. And so those monies we felt like it was really good to have something on board so that we could pay for somebody to do this. And that, so it's not just putting in the meter, it's actually doing that deep, deep down work.
Sure.
Beth?
One of the reasons you'll see, like in this meter installation, these breakdowns, it's kind of a carryover from when Jim was doing the meters and we were buying the meter supplies and we were tracking that separately from contracted out labor and excavation. We really aren't doing that that way now. We're just, Highland is putting it in. Mm-hmm. The only thing we are doing is, they were very nice in allowing us to, since we had been ordering meters through Ferguson, we've been continuing to do that lately. And that saves us a 10% surcharge mm-hmm. that Highland puts on any materials mm-hmm. they provide. But that breakdown is kind of we're kind of ignoring that now, and we put it all into the contract labor because basically Highland is doing it, doing all the work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then the only other question I have, the last question I have, is on the additional services under water operations for Highland. Is that just yet another bucket that in case something odd comes up?
Not really. We have a contract with them, and they cover certain things under their basic system operation for a set amount each month. It includes the water testing. It includes any locates they have to do, and kind of some basic stuff. But then when we have any additional work, like say a repair, then that's a time and materials thing.
Okay. Okay, so that's any time and materials work.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Anyone else with questions? Let's see, Pat. And then I'll go to Lisa. I missed you again. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Could you refresh my memory? Because I don't know now how many, at the moment right now, how many more meters we still need to install and how many we expect to install by the end of this year if weather cooperates and other variables.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll go ahead and answer that. Is that okay?
Yes.
We have done 21 meters so far this fiscal year. We're hoping, I think, to do probably another dozen at least. We may exceed that amount, but remember when we were back doing the budget last year and the EPA survey money is also available, that we may not need all of that money and that we could use it for meters. And hopefully that's the case, although we're still not positive, but yeah, that's where we're at. We have about 40, I think it's 48 meters yet to go for the residential. And then we do have one, the fire station has never had a meter installed, and that's a 2-inch meter because that's 2-inch service. So that'll be kind of a different one. I mean, we'll have to order that separate from our, not one of our regular ones we can install there. And then we'll have the whole system done.
Really good.
All the commercials. Oops, sorry.
All the commercial, yeah, they already have meters. We probably at some point want to update. There's still three analog meters left. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably want to do those, although they're still functioning fine. But yeah. Thanks.
Hey.
Lisa, your turn.
My only cautionary tale is the grant loan application fees, since we've used up all of our money from Civil West flat fee. And every single time we have a meeting, every time we have an email, every time we write him, every time we ask him a question, every time we say boo, he charges us $233 an hour, I think. So I have a cautionary tale that I don't think that $10,000 is enough for next year, especially when we have to go through Business Oregon and the grant and the FEMA, and we have to negotiate with FEMA. I mean, that's going to go quicker than we can say boo. So I'm just putting it out there. That's my cautionary tale.
Thank you. Do you have a suggestion about how much you would like to add?
Honestly, I would like it doubled.
And okay.
But I hope we don't have to use it. But, you know, I really think that, you know, we try our best to be judicious and not use him. But, you know, we're going to have, if we get the FEMA, when we get the FEMA grant next year, you know, it's going to be like.
Oh, Eileen.
Yes, Eileen.
Eileen.
I was waiting for you to finish, Lisa.
I'm done.
Okay. I think as far as Kevin goes this year, I think he's been very, I have the word, now it's gone. He hasn't charged us hardly anything this year. But Lisa, I think that's a really good point. And I think maybe what we need to do is just reach out to him and say, Kevin, what's next year going to look like? Yeah. And, you know, that's something that we've never even asked him. You know, we just call him and say, you know, because they're committed to this. They're going to make their money once this project goes through. So, but, you know, I mean, if they are going to start invoicing us for doing what you just said, obviously we need to figure out what that's going to be. And I have no idea. You know, he's really been doing a lot of stuff up until this week or last week. And he finally kind of said, you know, I love working with you guys, but I need to send you an invoice. So, yeah. So let me reach out to him, Lisa, and see if I can't get a better idea of what it might look like. So, and I mean, you obviously have got some experience working with grants and stuff. So, yeah. So you're right. I mean, you might start throwing great big invoices at us.
I have Kelly, and then I'll pass to Beth.
No, all I wanted to add was that Kevin said he was going to start invoicing us, and Eileen touched on that, so that's why I put my white card down. Thank you.
Beth?
Yeah, and that is a really good question for Eileen, that we should have answered, because once, and I don't know what that point is, that once either of these projects is for sure, then that money will be coming from that project money, whether it's FEMA or not. Now, they have indicated it can take 6 months from the notice of award for the FEMA till we actually sign a contract with it. And the question would be good to ask of Kevin as to, you know, when can his or any of the Civil West time start being charged to the project and come out of that money, as opposed to pre-project work, I guess. That's what
mm-hmm. you call it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll put an email together, Beth, and I'll make sure that everybody CC'd before I send it, so it sounds right. So, okay.
Lisa, and then Pat.
Just a quick follow-up. At OSU, we have grants that are 2 years, and we're still waiting on stuff in order to finalize the grant. So 6 months to me sounds like a breeze. So just FYI, sometimes, you know, negotiating these things, if we have terms and conditions, I highly doubt we will have terms and conditions and all this stuff. But, you know, if they ask us for the moon and we can't deliver the moon, then, you know, we have to negotiate and all of this stuff. So it's just, it's very, very, very time consuming. So just don't be shocked when it's not like, you know, we decided, oh yes, we get to spend it. Nope.
Pat?
Are we talking about line 7000.1? Is that the money that Lisa thought should be? Which line is that one that we're talking about?
At the very top, under professional fees, a grant and loan application fees, 50.20.6.
Oh, doubling that one could hurt. Woo.
Well, you'll see we lowered it by 10.
Right.
We're being optimistic.
We need to go back where we were.
I don't think we've We haven't spent any for this year, have we?
No.
No, because Kevin's been really nice to us.
Yeah.
Really, really nice to us. So, okay. You know.
So potentially that number needs to go back up.
It might, yeah.
Okay. All right.
We can find out.
Okay. I'm going to make that one yellow.
Are there any other things you want to talk over? Yes, Pat.
I see we have under 4075 interest.
Oh, yeah, that's going to go away. Yeah.
What do you mean? It's why is it going away? We're is not it, getting.
That's under the general account, Pat. If you look, the interest is all bottom under those other accounts, the reserve account and the assistant development. That's where the interest is sitting, way down at the bottom, 40s.
So in this year's P&L, under 4075, there's a budget for $1,500 and we've received $2,192. So those shouldn't have been where they are
in the
general. Is that?
No, because the P&L, remember, is not by fund. We can't run a P&L versus budget based on any class for funds. So when you enter in your budget in QuickBooks, it has to be for everything. So that's why instead of a one line, just interest, you see it listed, the 4075 is 0.1 for the general fund, 0.2 for the treasury account, et cetera.
Right. Okay.
Those are separate funds.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good.
Confused, but I think I got
know.
It.
And so on the budget spreadsheet that you're all looking at, that interest, any expenses or income is separated on this spreadsheet. So we can, because we're supposed to keep it all separated out, keep track of it separately.
So the interest on both those accounts just keeps rolling back into that account. It is not
right
coming to the general fund and then we have to move it. Okay, got it.
Right. Yeah, that would be a transfer out and in if you did that.
Yeah, it would be a pain.
Yeah. Any other issues that you want to talk through? You know, we're looking at 7:10, and yeah. I'm not rushing you to do anything. I just want you to know what time it is because time flies. Oh, Beth, you have something.
Well, if you're trying to wrap up, I think actually the board needs to discuss what was running around in emails this afternoon about the rate increase, unless we want to hold another special meeting this week.
No, I don't want to hold another. This is our...
I don't either. This is
3 weeks in a row.
Meeting in 3 weeks for some of us, so...
Yep.
So should we... Are we going to basically just make the decision to go with these rate increases that we talked about? Is that what you're saying, Beth? That you'd like to do that?
Well, there seems to be some urgency, and I still don't know whether the Business Oregon people understand, but they keep asking, well, have you made this rate increase? And this last email, what was it, just today, that she said, well, are you gonna do it at your April meeting? Well, a rate increase is not something you can just go, oh, okay, we're going to do it. You have to put it, decide on what you want to propose. You have to mail a notice to all customers, which, you know, you got to give yourself some time to put it all together and get it into the mail. And that has to be, you have to give people at least 30 days before a hearing in which you have to have a public hearing, and then the board can vote to raise the rates. Yeah. So it's, but I think we need to from the sound of this email, we need to let them know that we're working on it. And we need to know from them, is this something we should do right away? Because the second thing is that we're kind of instructed through our ordinance 2017-02 that we would do rate changes during the regular annual budget process. Luckily, we're in it right now, but normally we would wait and approve it with the rest of the budget in June. We need to know whether, do we really need to get right on it? And are we looking at maybe a early May hearing for a rate increase?
Lisa and then Kelly.
I just had a question for Beth. Beth, can we make, when we have the rate increase meeting and we vote on it, can we also vote on the resolution to do it the 10 years every year? Can we combine those two
meetings
together? Multi-year?
I see. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what Business Oregon, I think they want. They want to see that commitment.
They do.
Written in stone, so to speak, although, of course, it can be changed down the road. But yeah, that would be part of it. We would be saying we're going to raise the rates for this fiscal year, and this fiscal, you know, and name all the fiscal years and the amount.
Okay, so I will send a draft email to you guys tomorrow, and I would appreciate comments back as soon as after we vote on this, of course, and then critique, and then I'll send it off to Michelle at Business Oregon tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. Kelly?
Okay, so Beth, what I hear you saying is that we need to work on this as a budget committee because it needs to be part of the budget, that we have to give people 30, we have to mail something out, give mm-hmm. people 30 days notice to comment.
To hold then, a hearing, before a hearing, yeah.
Right, then we have the hearing, and then we have, at the hearing, do we approve it? Do we make a resolution to approve
it? Yeah, we would have a resolution already written up, and we would, but we have to hear any public comment about it. We have to allow the public to comment, and then the board can vote to approve or not approve.
Right. So we would need to do that at least 2 months in advance of June, right? So we should be doing it. Can we? Yeah. Yeah. So we need to do it. We need to get on it. We need to send out the mailing.
Yeah. Like I said in that one email, you're looking at a 5-6 week process because you got to have some time to get it together. It's, you know, we need 150 copies. We're probably going to, you know, send it to Pioneer Printing and have them print it. So, you know, they have a lead time, and then we have to get extra stamps, extra envelopes, and stuff the envelopes and get it in the mail at least 30 days before that hearing date.
So I think we need to start that process now.
Right.
So do we need to have a motion, Beth, we've made the decision to increase rates by $10 a year for the next 3 years?
Anyway, we need a motion that we want to propose it.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll make the motion that we propose a $10 rate increase effective with the 24-25 budget year and going forward for the next 3 years through
27, 28, 26, 27, 28, 27, 26, 27. That would be the fiscal years.
Yeah. Okay, I made the motion.
I'll second it.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Joni?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Pat?
Yes, go ladies, get this done.
Motion passes. So again, board committee, I will send out an email sometime tomorrow morning. Please look it for it. It's a draft. Please mark it up. And I will take your suggestions and then I'll send it to Michelle tomorrow and CC Kevin and all of you, and we'll get it on the right path.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
make sure and let her know it's going to be a while before it's actually a signed deal.
Yep. But I'm going to let her know that the budget committee, we met tonight and we approved the motion to go down this path, and we are committed, and it's just going to take us time. So we just need that time according to our bylaws, blah, blah, blah,
Oregon statutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which you thankfully, Beth, provided for me because, you know, you're really good at that.
Yeah.
I've got them all downloaded here. So
she is. She's just like a whiz. I'm like, I don't know what statute is.
All right. So, you know, I thought that was something that only the board members were going to do, but now we're all participating with it. So that's great. All right. Do you have any, I think one of the things we need to talk about is our next meeting time, because we're 7:19. I'd like to keep our commitment to only have a few more minutes until our 7:30. So would you pull out, if you have them, the piece of paper that has the dates that were proposed?
The budget calendar, the proposed budget.
Yeah, proposed budget calendar.
Yeah.
And it's today's the 26th.
And it's not set in stone, you guys. So
right. Yeah, that's just what Eileen and I came up with, April 16th, since we have a regular meeting coming up too. So that was our suggestion.
Is that acceptable to everyone? I mean, we aren't going to lose momentum, I don't think. We're just beginning. Could I have a card on our next meeting being April 16th?
Oh, sorry. Okay. I picked up two. I was facing green. Red was facing you guys. You're going to kick it off.
Beth, do you have your card up? Yep, you do. Okay. And Eileen, you had a green card, right?
Can somebody tell me, is that a Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm fine. The next day I'm not fine, but the 16th is good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the day after tax day.
Yeah, I guess. Pat?
I like your tape dispenser, Pat. Your green tape dispenser.
Okay, so let's see. Make sure we have everything else covered here. For our, we have a public hearing yet. You know what we need to do? I need to take some time and actually do a public hearing invitation to people before we close, because that is a part of the rules. Is that not correct?
That is, although we have no public here, but.
Well, we don't, but I need to, I feel like I need to call for it.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm going to open the public hearing on the budget. And is there anyone who is online who would like to speak? Okay, then we will proceed. We will proceed and close the meeting properly. All right, scheduled next meeting. And then if there is no other comment,
I guess I'll just make a further committee discussion. I guess the only other thing is, after looking at all the numbers in the budget, is everybody pretty comfortable with them other than the ones that we discussed? Do we need to address everything line by line, or are we okay just moving forward with kind of what we've discussed here? We're going to find out from Kevin if we really need to increase the engineering numbers, and then the other numbers We've got that survey amount that we may use for part of our meter installations for this year. So, I mean, other than that, and, you know, answering Teresa's questions, I'm assuming that we're all okay with the numbers that we've got written down in the budget.
Wow.
Well, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beth.
I think there's some fine tuning we may need to do on some of them. Like we said, we hadn't done the, of course, the available cash on hand, and need to probably review the cost of meters and what we would need to finish them out in another fiscal year. So I'd like to reserve that as, you know, something needs some more calculation time.
Yep.
Besides writing resolutions, which I guess I'll be kind of busy doing that too. So,
well, and also that grant and loan application fee, if we multiply that by 2 to 20,000, then something will need to shift.
Well, yeah, but you can see if you go down to the bottom line with a $10 rate increase, which we already built in, we've got plenty.
Yeah, good.
You know, our total expenses come up to 190,000 some, and the total revenue shows up at 257.
Yeah, so, we're okay. Yeah.
And that's why, too, I think we should, you know, we may need more for the meters, but then we should look at possibly transferring some to the reserve fund, because it's, you know, we earn absolutely no interest in our checking account, and at least we earn good interest in the reserve account, the state.
Pat, did I see your white card?
You did, except it's not your official white card, because I don't know what I did with my cards.
I have more.
No, they're here somewhere. I just can't find them at the moment. I personally would like to say maybe we're done with pages 1 and 2, but I have some more things that I might like to talk about further on down.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was just going with this. You know, for our next meeting, let's just kind of try to focus on a couple of these other items. And like Beth said, you know, we need to kind of tamp down some numbers here on what we think we can do with meters for the rest of the year. We've got a roof, so we need to tweak this a little bit more. But I think just in general, I think just as long as everybody's kind of got a good grasp of what we've got on here, keeping in mind that the cash on hand is completely not a good number right now. So,
dartboard.
Okay. Kelly, did I see a white card from you, or were you looking at papers?
No, I might have had a white card up, but I have no idea why. So,
that's okay.
Time to end the meeting.
All right.
See, an hour and a half and we're done.
We'll see what happens. We're 4 minutes early. All right. If there are no other comments, then I will formally adjourn the meeting. And thank you all very much for this introduction to the whole process.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Everyone.